Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here via the information superhighway because I am in Cincinnati with Brandon Kelly. Brandon, how are you?
I'm really feeling the distance between you and me, Josh. I mean, we're always recording over the interwebs, but now it's your states apart as opposed to just avenue blocks.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to affect the sound quality or not. You know,
what's your setup there in the hotel room?
Actually, it's not bad. I've got a desk that's like, it's like pivoted out. So it's like, it's kind of like an L-shaped desk. And so I'm looking, it's kind of, the room is kind of depressingly yellow.
Okay.
I'm looking at a very,
but you have like a
room.
Panoramic view of the of downtown Cincy?
No, it's actually, I'm on the Cincinnati campus for this, you know, no one cares about this, but I'm here for a little conference. And so, but I was lucky enough to actually I'm in a Marriott and they have NBC Sports. So big ups to Marriott. Feel free to become a sponsor of the podcast. So I watched the Arsenal match and it completed a very nice wild card for me, Brandon. I have to say, anyone who follows us on social media has seen me all week, sort of, you know, wringing my hands over the wild card and doing things that I don't often post my team on there. Because I don't have the self-esteem to handle the abuse.
You open yourself up to a lot of criticism.
You do, exactly. But I decided to do it. I wanted to get a little feedback. And I have to give a shout-out to Nick Wright, actually, who is he's a cheater from the UK, a fellow, what do we call him, honorary cheater from the UK.
We've actually broken bread with Nick at the Black Horse Tavern here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and he
well-traveled young man.
Yeah, and so the benefit of sharing this stuff is you do end up getting feedback that can be very helpful, especially when it's couched the right way. Which is, I need people to be very flattering to me first before they before they give feedback. If someone's just like, mm-hmm. "Your team sucks" or whatever, that I can just dismiss them. But if someone's like, "You know what? You're a smart person and you've got a nice team here," but I might change this and this, that I listen to.
It's a little bit like going undercover on social media. Like somebody has to pretend to be your friend in order to get invited into your little like motorcycle gang.
Exactly. So I finished on 88 points all told. I made a late move that I decided basically because there was a press conference where Mark Hughes.
Yeah, Mark Hughes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Not John Hughes, director of The Breakfast Club.
Right.
Mark Hughes.
Where Mark Hughes.
Uninteresting manager of unremarkable Mark Hughes.
had a press conference where he said, I don't have any center backs for this weekend. So just be warned, everybody.
He was just like, heads up, FYI.
Yeah, and, you know, and so, yeah, but partially also because Kurt Zuma couldn't play against Chelsea because of injury. So if you're in a wild card and you hear that, it is very hard not to bring in someone from Chelsea. Sure. And the way it worked out, I just thought, you know, I can drop Kane, I can bring in Alvaro Morata, I can save $2.2 million, and then I can reinvest that $2.2 million into my squad. I really like Chelsea's fixtures coming up, not really for game week 7 because they play Man City, but from game week 8 onwards, they're very strong. So
yeah, we're going to have to talk about that Chelsea City fixture later on in the podcast because I think that's very vexing coming off of this game week where both Chelsea and Man City looked really delicious.
Yep, there's lots of Chelsea and City questions to come. And in fact, the first topic, which we'll get to in just a minute here, is about premium strikers and what to what our thoughts are right now. And there's basically 5 or 6, you know, really good options up front, and what do you do about them? So 88 points all told. I dropped Kane, which was looking very scary when he scored 2 goals in the first half of Saturday's match.
Decided to go Dele Alli instead of Eriksen, came out in the wash for you.
Exactly. It turned out okay in the end. So I ended up with Dele Alli, who. I wanted to have a Spurs player for their strong fixtures. He isn't going to be able to play at the Champions League in midweek, so I thought, you know, he's kind of a guaranteed starter this weekend and next weekend. So that was why I went with him over Eriksen, which was kind of a wash anyway. Eriksen was 0.2 more expensive because I would have had him at 9. Not to get too in the weeds here. I would have had him at 9.5 if I'd kept him, but I'd already dropped him to bring in David Silva. So, in the end, I actually had kind of two different working versions of the team, and they ended up on almost the exact same points. I would have had 90, actually, if I'd kept the old team, the old wildcard team, the kind of one that I was working on. But 88 versus 90, it's all fine, and I like the way my team looks up and down a lot more now.
At this point of the season, 2 points is the difference between number one in the world and number 1.5 million, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up moved up about 450,000 spots. I basically made up all the ground that I lost the week before, and I'm right outside the top 100K right now. So, very good. How about you? How was your week, Brandon?
My week was moderate. I ended up on 68 points. I was toying around with the idea of holding my transfer, and I would have Davies, me, and Kyle Naughton in the back. And that was with an eye toward monkeying around with maybe Calvert-Lewin and my strike force next week. Mm-hmm. But I made a late game time decision. If Trevor is out there listening, while we were having a slice of pizza around midnight on Friday night, I actually transferred Mendy in for Kyle Naughton. It was dubbed the pizza transfer. You heard about the the pizza tapes? This is the pizza transfer.
How did you have that much money in your bench to go? Do you have $3 million lying around?
I had $2.4 million there to get me from Kyle Naughton to Mendy. Which I only needed $2 million to go, obviously, we can all do math, Josh, 4.5 to 6.5.
Sure.
So I still have 0.4 left in the bank. And I just figured everyone is going to be bringing in Aguero. I was not going to bring in Aguero. I would have to do the whole hashtag hokey cokey thing and drop Lukaku with an eye toward getting him immediately back. That stuff, it looks like it may work out for managers that tried that tactic, in assuming you didn't have any injuries coming into your squad coming out of this game week. So right. I just wanted a little extra Man City. Don't want to use the trigger warning, the C word.
No, but you'd either be goals and a pretty good chance of a clean sheet. I mean, I understand the move.
Absolutely. So it became a very unlucky injury after a yellow card. So Mendy ends up on 0 points. The problems I need to solve now would be my midfield with Aaron Moy and Gross. They're very, very low caliber midfielders. Calvert-Lewin got the start for me. But of course, everyone could have predicted that Nias comes in and gets all the all the attacking points off of Calvert-Lewin.
A player who is not even literally listed in the on the fantasy game right now.
Well, the Kane captaincy sort of helped me out. I was feeling pretty good after the first game week or the first fixture. But finishing on 68, given how many points were on the table, you collected a lot of those goals. How many goals did you end up with that wild card team?
Yeah, let's see here. It would have been I ended up with Aguero, Lukaku, and Morata up front. So that's five goals right there, plus an assist, two assists from Ali. Two assists from Ali and a goal from Salah. So, yeah, six goals, three clean sheets, and three assists. So that's how you get 88 right there. And I thought that the one move I made that I got a little grief for, I was kind of surprised, I brought in Stephen Ward from Burnley. And I guess, I feel like we need to take a moment and, understand why we were all on Ben Mee. Because... is Ben Mee even good? He's okay. I feel like we've all been... It was a big Ben Mee bandwagon that I jumped on as well. But I did want a Burnley player, and I just thought that Ward offered a little more attacking threat, Stephen Ward. And so I was lucky enough to get those two extra bonus points from him this week on that transfer. And it was just a nice little additional bonus. He actually almost had an assist, too. So
yeah, Ward does have an attacking threat, which I like. I mean, definitely more so than Ben Mee, where you're only looking to get goals from him off of set pieces.
I was kind of disgusted by his really weak headers in the Liverpool game.
I think that is uncharitable to Ben Mee.
It is uncharitable, but man, he's got to thump that header. It was like a little 5-mile-per-hour header. I just need a little more pace. I just want him to have a Didier Drogba-esque header. One.
is that too much to ask Ben Mee to do a Champions League extra time getting against Bayern Munich header in every game?
I don't know. Was that extra time or was it just the end?
That was to draw the game, so they went into extra time. The legendary draw.
I remember exactly. Not to get too sidetracked here, I remember exactly where I was when he scored that goal. Remember, we were actually in Montauk. We had a big friend vacation.
Of course, what everyone does when they go to the beach, they seclude themselves in the basement of their beach house rental to watch the Champions League final.
12 people there, and you and I are huddled in the basement watching this Champions League final. It'd be great. It was a great match, so, no regrets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to round things out, 68 will be above average, but given how many points, a lot of the big boys that I like to run with were scoring. And I'm on a green arrow, but I don't feel good about this week.
Yeah, but it was, I guess, in the end it's hard to see the scores that are higher and not feel like you could have done a little more. I do understand that, but it wasn't like it cost you. At least you're still climbing up.
All right, speaking of wild cards, Josh, we have a question from Ross McKay. He says, any color on when you guys have used wild cards in previous seasons would be useful. Currently torn between two options, Josh. One, wild card soon, tidy up my defense. Or option number two, taking some short-term fixture punts on weekly transfers with a view to wild carding in the November international break. Or here's a wild card on the wild card question, Josh. Third option, letting it roll until injuries, suspensions inevitably hit the fan. So this is kind of a broad question from Ross about best practices with your wild card. And if I had to just jump in and say something, you're getting into November, close to when you get that winter wild card in January. I feel like just spend it now, because if you're going to wait that long, you're just going to have another wild card come into play come January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although the way it's worked the last couple of years is, you kind of can't use that wild card until March or April, so anytime you use the wild card now, you're basically using that wild card for the next 6 months or so, I mean, you're kind of like until game week 32 or something, assuming you want to make the most of those, double game weeks. So I put this question at the top just because it was something I thought about a lot about my wild card team. I had a team that was good enough to exist without a wild card. I mean, I would have had a decent week regardless, but, cause I would have captained Kane if I kept with my current team. With my previous team, and I would have had Eriksen still too, but I think I just I just felt like there were a lot of really strong fixtures coming up for teams kind of at the top of the pile and the bottom of the pile. Chelsea, Arsenal, you know, really like their defense. I really liked Arsenal's defensive fixtures. I like Chelsea's long-term fixtures a lot. I kind of like some of the Stoke fixtures and Newcastle. And so I just felt like now was the time for me to, like, get everything set up, you know. And I kind of even know some of the moves that I want to make over the next couple of weeks. Like, actually, you know, Ben Davies or possibly Kolasinac is going to get dropped at some point for a Southampton defender. Because Southampton, like, I feel like we're kind of sleeping on them again. But their fixtures, you know, they have a Stoke match, which could be a difficult match. But after they have Newcastle, West Brom.
Not on the evidence of this weekend, my friend.
Well, I don't know. I actually thought Stoke looked okay in this match. I mean, I know that, I mean, given their defensive problems, they were always going to lose that match. But I thought they actually, the scoreline made it seem like it was more of a blowout than it really was. So the game was actually pretty close for 65, 70 minutes. Okay. That's how I felt, at least. I mean, I watched most of it, and I was pretty I was not and you know, Choupo-Moting was my kind of punty midfielder option that I brought in, and I actually thought he looked pretty active, and he's very tall. He's really I guess he's kind of a winger, but I know he plays as a winger and a little he's kind of playing as a striker at times too. So we'll see. Choupo-Moting, I mean, you know, obviously he's going to be the first player to get caught if things don't work out, but
I'm on the Southampton call though. Because they've seemed to have come to life in the last couple of weeks. Lamina looks like a real force in their midfield, and I don't know if I'm big into bringing him in as an FPL player. I mean, maybe might consider it. It's like they're just a team of deep lying players, and they're traditionally, or the last few seasons, been traditionally a defensive team.
Yeah, I'm not interested in them as an attacking option. Oh yeah, like, I mean, Lamina is only 5 million, so you know, if you I think all of us have been kind of impressed with Lamina the last couple of game weeks. So as a 5 million option that absolutely nobody's talking about, like, let's say that you're not impressed with Christian Atsu, or you're worried that he's going to get rested again coming off the next international break, then maybe Lamina is a great option, because their next five fixtures they play Stoke away. And then they play Newcastle, West Brom at home, Brighton away, and Burnley at home in the next four fixtures after the Stoke fixture. I mean, that could be four clean sheets in a row for Southampton. So, yeah, I'm really looking at Cedric as an option there. So, so I'd definitely keep an eye out on Southampton. So, anyway, but to get back to the original question about wildcarding, you know, there's no one clear answer. I feel like if your team is good enough to survive with one or two moves, you shouldn't wildcard in general. But I felt like there was some fundamental, like, kind of rot in my team. It's just, I really wanted to go with the heavy, with the big three-man forward line. I really wanted to weaken my midfield and kind of strengthen my defensive line. And so I'm really happy with a 4-3-3 structure right now, which is what I've got moving forward. And I really like the rotation that I've got with my four-man defense. And then I've got I have Mbemba as my fifth defender. And so, you know, assuming he continues to start, it feels like I could even go five at the back at times. So, you know, and I think that's really that's where the trend is right now. But I think it makes a lot of sense because, you know, as you said, you know, even these players like Moy and
Gross.
Yeah, Gross. I mean, Gross, you know, he probably actually should have had a goal. But Brighton's not going to score a lot of goals anyway, right? So, I mean, you know, unless he just, like, takes over the game and has a couple of goals himself, you're not going to get a ton of points from Gross in any particular game week.
Yeah, yeah. Now, without a doubt, given the evidence of this weekend with all of these luxury strikers coming through, and I think that's been the trend throughout the first part of the season, is that goals... We've had seasons where goals come from the midfield. You've got guys like Mahrez, or when De Bruyne was at the top of his game, or Eden Hazard, Sanchez. All of these goals are coming from strikers. So I definitely see how the 4-3-3 makes sense. And if I look at my team and I'm leaning on guys like Moy and Gross, even though, you know, in light of the discussion we were just having about him, the goals aren't really going to consistently come from there. So I totally agree with that formation, the way it looks right now.
So, Brandon, let's move on. Always Cheating Super League. It is not updated yet, but it does look like FC Bensalona, Ben Kitt, remain in first place. So sorry to anyone in the top 10. We will post it on social media this week. But the upside is you don't have to hear us mispronounce your name. So it's kind of a, you know, 6-1, half done. You know, there's good and bad here, Brandon.
I'll just call it a win.
Patreon update. Want to put this at the top of the podcast this week. Our knockout tournament. So this is the Survivor League that we're starting. And this is it's not exactly fantasy related, but the idea is that you pick one team each game week. And all you have to do is pick them not to lose. Even a draw is okay. But once they lose, you are knocked out of the tournament. That is going to start in game week 8. So that is the first game week after the international break. So we have game week 7 this weekend, and then it'll be 2 weeks off. And then when we come back, that knockout tournament's going to start. So anyone $3 pledge or above, you're automatically into the Survivor League. And if you'd like to join the Survivor League, go to patreon.com/alwaystreating and sign up. And you also get a lot of really cool features, like we have free copies of Fantasy Football Magazine that we give out each month to the player with the highest score.
Which we're doing this week, actually.
We're doing this week, exactly. Yep, so we'll update that next week. And you also get a discount on a subscription to Fantasy Football Magazine. You get into the Patreon Supporters League, and the winner of that gets invited to appear on the podcast. So lots of cool stuff. And once again, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. If you have any questions, you can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com.
Josh, I have a rant of the week, and that's that my midfield stinks. But other people, our listeners, have rants. Jonathan,
we had so many rants we couldn't even get to them all. So apologies to other ranters.
Yeah, we were rich in rants this week. Jonathan Pedersen says, meltdown of the week, exclamation point. Alonso sub at the 56th minute and a yellow card. Trippier sub in for Spurs at the 78th minute. And I got both of them. Best part is I got Schindler with 9 points. And guess where Schindler was for Jonathan, Josh?
Captained.
On the bench. Almost the clear opposite of captained. So that is bad luck for Jonathan.
That is a bad luck.
Nicholas O also had a rant. Did Ali plus Chicharito to Richie plus Jesus last weekend on -4? How many bottles you reckon it'll take to get over that one? So Ali coming in with 2 assists, Chicharito with a goal, and he trades that in for 0 points from Jesus. And Richie ended up on 2 points, I think.
2 points.
You can at least see how Newcastle is really, really leaning on Richie in their attack. He's serving up all the dead balls. I mean, Jonjo Shelvey even came on and started taking corner kicks, and at some point everyone was like, you know, we liked it better when Richie was taking them. Thanks a lot, Jonjo.
Yeah, I think that if you're going with a 4-3-3, which is, say, 4 defenders, 3 midfielders, 3 forwards as your FPL lineup, I think Richie at 6 million is a great option. I actually probably would have gone for him. I was 0.2 short of bringing in Richie. So So I think he's a good option. I like him a little more than Atsu. I know that the stats make it seem like Atsu and Richie are performing about the same. But, you know, just given, like you said, that he's on so many dead balls, I think that long term, the 1 million is probably worth it for Richie.
Yeah. Without a doubt. One more rant, FPL Mosquito. I transferred out Morata and Chicharito before this game week for a -4. A lot of -4s going into this game week.
Yeah.
And FPL Mosquito also brought in Jesus, and he took a punt on Rashford. Now, would you even get close to considering Marcus Rashford in your FPL side? Is that recommended?
Well, yeah, I would consider it, but I wouldn't have considered it before an away match to Southampton.
Yeah, I think that game sort of, there were a lot of games that panned out as predicted this weekend, none so more than the United-Southampton game, where it was sort of a defensive battle, and Lukaku came out with, well, the one thing I wouldn't have predicted was bonus points for Lukaku, so that was a miracle of all miracles.
Game-winning goal, you know, the game-winning goal always gives you a couple extra points. Yeah. I know. I moved from De Gea to Phil Jones, which I was kind of nervous about, but then I ended up with 9 points from Jones. So
yeah, that was a good move. I mean, Jones is just skyrocketing in value. I think if you're even have an inkling that you want Jones into your squad, now's the time to get him because his price is just going to continue rising.
Exactly. He's 0.4 cheaper, and he looks like he's pretty locked into that squad. He's having a very good season. And I mean, Phil Jones is always, you know, he's been highly rated for, I mean, going back to when he was like, you know, what, 19 or 20?
So, yeah, Alex Ferguson claimed he was the future of the club.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, yeah, they just talk about him as like a possible captain of the English national team, you know, which seems really funny now, but
we're all laughing.
All right. So, yeah, and the Murata and Chicharito thing, that smells of an early, like maybe a frustration transfer the weekend before, you know, because I think by Friday, Murata was a player everyone was trying to bring in. Just at least, I don't know. I don't know how you felt about this. I don't know if Murata was really on your radar at all, but just knowing that there was, you know, no defenders on Stoke.
Definitely, if you had that transfer to play going into Friday and with that information, I think people still had a few questions about Chelsea going into the Stoke match, just at the caliber of team. I mean, not necessarily the caliber of the team. They're the league winners last season. They've got a host of world-class players, but they've kind of like not mentally looked all there, and Murata's still getting bedded in, even though he's been consistently scoring goals for them. And given the Man City match coming up next week, I mean, count me among these managers. I was just kind of biding my time with Chelsea. And now it's Murata and Aspilicueta are the superheroes coming out of this match. And I think we'll field a few questions about Chelsea defense as much as we will about Murata.
It's like almost, it's kind of weird how, I mean, I know the hat trick really changes things, but, you know, even before then, I mean, now through six game weeks now, he's on 6 goals, 2 assists, and 8 bonus points. I mean, that is pretty extraordinary. So that is a total of 48 points, and that's actually 4 more points than Lukaku. Lukaku's on 44. So despite the fact that Lukaku has absolutely dominated FPL conversation, Murata, now granted, again, the hat trick definitely skews things a little bit, but even without that, they would be really close in points. And he's still only 10 point, has he gone up in price? Yeah, he's still only 10.2 million. So he sort of hat trick over the weekend and has still not gone up at all in price, which is
he's
kind of insane.
He's pegged to go up in price tonight as we're recording on Monday evening. So he should be 10.3 by the time this podcast goes out.
Right, and having playing Man City the next game week does skew things a little bit. Brandon, that brings us right into the key question after game week 6, which is that when every striker is scoring, what do you do? What strikers do you need? Who do you want? If you could build your perfect front three right now, who would it contain? So the first question, which I think kind of sets the table here, is from Vlad Bogos. He says, I still have my wild card. He says, not because I'm good this season, but simply because I feel that the dust has not settled yet. If I were to be bold and try a triple premium striker bundle, who should I go for? And I would argue that's not even necessarily that bold at this point. He says, who should I go for? Murata, Lukaku, Kane, Aguero, Jesus, and Lacazette. So here we go, Brandon. This is the question. You have these 6 strikers.
How do I pick three?
Yeah.
How
do you pick three?
You ever go to those big Chinese restaurant buffets where, you know, they've got the great spread of all the savories, but then you get to the dessert cart and it's just like 20 desserts and they all look equally delicious. and how do you choose? That's kind of how I feel about looking at all these strikers. So we can say who has significant drawbacks. Definitely, Jesus here was the big loser this week because he didn't get any minutes. Therefore, he can't score any goals. But between Murata, Lukaku, Kane, Aguero, and Lacazette, they all had double returns. Aguero had a goal and an assist, so I guess he comes out a little short here.
It's important to know that Lacazette's on pens because I don't think we necessarily knew that. He took a penalty while Sanchez was still on the pitch.
And it was a beautifully taken penalty. It's a tale of two penalties. I think we'll touch upon Jamie Vardy shortly here, but we had been lauding Jamie Vardy's penalty taking technique. See, if we put Vardy's PK technique next to Lukaku's, the sort of the deft uncertainty of Lukaku next to the sheer will and determination of Vardy. Now Vardy smash it down the middle, finally caught up with him.
The league finally caught up to it.
But Lacazette just tucked it so beautifully, like Italian chef fingers smacking against lips. And
he is a fun player to watch. I mean, his anticipation is incredible. I mean, how many times? I feel like almost all of his goals have been scored in kind of not kind of the pen, obviously, but have all three of his other goals been scored in kind of the poachery way? I feel like The first goal he scored this season for Leicester was kind of that way, and
well, it was not. That wasn't a poacher's goal. He was. I mean, he was on the last defender.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. So my point does not stand. But anyway, the point is,
I loved your point. It's not true, but
it's not a true point. Yeah. Okay. I'll just make a point, which is that the first goal he scored today was a beautiful goal. It was
yes.
Just the way that he just the ball comes in, it ricochets out the post, and he beats every. I mean, people hadn't even moved from their the other defenders hadn't even moved their feet yet, and he was already two steps in.
As if Scotty from the Starship Enterprise just beamed him there. And there he was.
Yeah, he's just a fun player to watch. He's really active, and he's got really good form. I mean, his heading, for a guy who's 5'9", his form on headers is really strong. I mean, it's bullet headers.
Well, and speaking of, one of the shorter guys on this list, I guess there are a lot of short guys on this list, but Aguero continues to score goals with his head. Which is
Mohamed Salah too?
Yeah, all these short guys. I mean, maybe people are just kicking the ball higher than the modern game, Josh. People are just crossing the ball higher, and these short guys have to use their heads instead of their feet.
So it's kind of tricky, I think, because fixtures have to be a consideration here, right? You have to weigh the fixtures a little bit when you consider these players. And there's not an easy answer, even when you look at it that way. I think that, Arsenal have a couple of good fixtures coming up, but then they play Everton away, which could be tricky. They play Man City away. Spurs have a couple of easy fixtures, but they also have some really difficult Champions League fixtures coming up, too. And there is maybe a little concern about getting tired there. I don't know. I mean, the Champions League is always such a wild card. It's hard to really know how much to weigh it,
Yeah.
It does seem like it's hurting Jesus more than any of these players.
Yes.
Losing that Crystal Palace home fixture is pretty devastating if you're I don't want to go too over the top here, but if you're a Jesus owner and you miss out on that fixture, that is just a huge loss.
Those really bonuses that you could have been cashing in.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make them feel any worse, but I'm just saying it was very unlucky.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bad luck this weekend, really. I mean, watching that Chelsea game, I almost brought in Marcus Alonso, and it was, he gets fouled and he gets really upset. And then kind of in revenge, he picks up a yellow card 30 seconds later. And he is just his face is on, he is so angry. Mm-hmm. And there's so much anger on his face that I think Conte thought, there's another red card coming here. And so he pulled him from the match, basically to stop him from getting a red. But because of the yellow and because it was the 58th minute, I said 59th minute, but that sub was actually announced the 57th minute. I was watching that game. So, really bad luck regardless. Trippier coming in was bad luck. There was just a lot of, I can understand why there were a lot of rants this week.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get back to this premium striker question. I wanted to make a quick point about Morata in light of his hat trick. And I was talking earlier about still trying to suss out the state of things at Chelsea. The one thing we learned about Morata this weekend I am assured by Morata now, because the goals he had scored have all been with his head, right? He hadn't scored a single goal for Chelsea with his feet. He comes out and he scores a hat trick. Each one of them beautifully taken with his feet.
Yeah. So different now, goals each time. Yeah.
Right. So he's
different styles of goals.
He's proven he's a multifaceted striker, right? Everything you could want. I think any questions that you had about Morata, the second goal that he scored, just beat the defender out and out for pace, tucked it into the corner. The first goal he scores shows that he's able to time his runs really well, in addition to his teammates actually looking for those runs. So Morata is the star for me in this lineup, above Kane, above Lukaku, above Aguero. And the Jesus getting rested for an entire 90 minutes, I don't know if that concerns anyone about Aguero as well, just Pep's... Not that we need to dwell on this anymore, but his penchant for just sitting guys randomly for entire matches. Does that give you any pause about Aguero, that he'll get the same treatment down the line?
how can you not, right? Yeah. I mean, you have to feel like – but with Aguero, I mean, the thing is, yeah, like, do I think over the next four or five fixtures he's going to get rested once? I do. I definitely do. I mean, they play Stoke and Burnley back-to-back in game weeks 8 and 9. You know, he'll probably get rested for one of those two. But, you know, he can always come out in the second half. I mean, it's rare that he's not going to make the 18 at all. I don't expect him to get rested, you know, two matches in a row at any point. So, you know, bringing him in was just, that was worth, I mean, you know, if you're bringing him in for a hit, it's more of a concern. But if you can just bring him in, then I think it's fine to maybe lose one game week.
There was a comment from Pep earlier today. He was doing his Champions League press conference, and the subject of Jesus came up. This is could be taken slightly out of context because I didn't see the whole interview, but people are asking him about Jesus and how he didn't get any minutes against Crystal Palace, and Pep says, Jesus is great, we love him, he helps Aguero to score goals, which I thought was such an odd thing to say and very threatening in terms of FPL managers who have taken Jesus in. If he's helping Aguero score goals.
Yeah, it feels like such a turn. I mean, you know, this is the same Aguero who Pep was basically bringing off the bench last year when Jesus was kind of emerging as a top striker, you know, in the last winter. So, I guess the knee injury to Jesus has like changed. He Wally Pipped himself by accident. So,
would you say this about Aguero? Like Aguero truly, the last month or so looks like old Aguero, and I'm starting to wonder if there was something last season mentally with Aguero where he was a little concerned about his place in the hierarchy with a new manager coming in and a manager like Guardiola, and Aguero's finally just become comfortable again, and now and Pep was just sort of waiting and coaching that to happen, and now here we are. That's sort of a theory I'm cultivating.
All right, so if you were on a wild card right now, would you go with a big three forward line, or would you go still with two bigs and then maybe one cheaper option, a Jamie Vardy, Firmino, you know, whomever?
I just don't think you can justify it right now because there is no one in the midfield that is really consistently firing.
You can justify a non-big three option?
Yeah, that is? I mean, you go big three up front, you can still fit a heavy hit, one, at least one heavy hitting midfielder in there. And, you know, you can talk about Mohamed Salah or Christian Eriksen, these guys who have been consistently posting numbers in the midfield. Going big up top still affords you one of those guys, and that's really all you need. I mean, who else in the midfield is doing the business right now?
I agree. I mean, I have a big three right now, and I still have Salah and Ellie in my midfield. And I have, you know, three premium defenders as well. So I definitely think that you can do it. And, you know, I mean, you have to cut in some places. You know, it's hard to have
Kane
someone like David De Gea.
He was the key, was it not, to cut Kane?
He was really the key. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just bringing him out was what allowed me to strengthen my midfield. And now, granted, you know, I actually could have had Silva for even less. I feel like there's still more goal threat from Ali. I really feel like he actually should have scored in yesterday or in Saturday's match. I felt like he was
through on goal, and that was what led to Kane's second. It was just a really great save by Joe Hart, and it put. Well, I mean, it was not a great save because he put it right into Harry Kane's path, but
but it was. Yeah, I mean, Ellie looked. He was free a lot, but he seemed a little tired to me. I don't know. I know he played 90 minutes.
He does have a tendency to trail off. You know, around the 75th minute.
So if you had just two, which two would you want? I guess that's a really tough question to answer.
It is a tough one. It's almost impossible. I think Morata and Lukaku seem like the must at the moment, and that's I mean, I don't want to do a total 180 on Harry Kane after he scores a brace, and I've stuck with him this whole time. But the way Spurs kind of collapsed a bit against West Ham, and given all the issues that they're having at Wembley, Kane is just like the bad vibes are starting to take over my FPL brain with Harry Kane.
Yeah, the problem with Kane is that you have to feel like so Kane right now is 2.3 million more than Morata. So if you bring in Harry Kane, or let's say you're wildcarding, and you have Kane over Morata, you think that you're getting 2.3 million more in value from him, which is, well, I mean, what does that translate into? That's like a goal a week or something like that. I mean, 2.3 million is a ton when we're talking about, maybe it's not a goal a week. I still feel like, okay, someone who's like really statistically inclined, if you can explain to me how many points each, like 0.5 million in value, like what it should translate into per game week or over a 10, you know, it's because I think about this a lot with Azpilicueta and Alonso, and this question of, you know, how many more points do you need from Marcus Alonso over a stretch of time to justify the 0.5 million? I feel like it's a very difficult question to answer.
Somebody needs to start a Twitter account called FPL Benchmark. I think that's right. What we need.
Exactly. Yeah. So because, I mean, how much more do you need from Kane for 2.1 million? It feels to me like quite a lot, given how many sacrifices you have to make elsewhere with that 2 million, right? I mean, that's the difference between between Kyle Walker and Kyle Naughton. You know, I mean, it's a huge
I see what you did there.
Difference.
That was good.
Yeah. So it's a big difference. So I do think that you might be better off with someone like with a Murata, Lukaku, Aguero front line, and not have Kane. I mean, like I said, I think there's a good argument, especially for the next two game weeks. I mean, they're home to Brighton next week, and I expect him to play, and I expect him to probably score. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would put out there Lukaku, Morata, Kane as my preferred front three, only just because of the pain and anguish that having Aguero or Jesus will cause you. And Lacazette is somewhere near the bottom for me, though. Even you know, watching a lot of that West Brom Arsenal game today, they looked really good. Arsenal looks like a really organized team. It's like night and day from the team we saw the first two game weeks.
All of a sudden, I guess they were shaky at times in the defensively in the first half. They were a little shaky. I mean, they probably should have got called for a penalty. They did pick it up. I mean, the second half they dominated West Brom. I mean, Everyone was so tired. I feel like that was a very physical match because I don't know if you're watching that at all, but the last 10 minutes, nobody was running. West Brom would win the ball, and even they were like, ah, screw it.
Yeah. The thing with Lacazette, though, is just that the goals are coming from everywhere, or the attack is coming from everywhere on that Arsenal team. And Lacazette, he's sort of relying on, I mean, I guess all strikers rely on being at the right place, right time. That is a skill. But last thing I would say, pointing at Morata, Lukaku, and Kane, these are the three guys on this list who are the lone strikers in their teams. There is not a replacement for Morata. I mean, Batshuayi is just not a replacement. There is no replacement.
He's a great player, but it doesn't seem like in Conte's eyes he's a replacement.
Yeah. I mean, even if Zlatan comes back, I don't see him taking Lukaku's minutes away from him.
There's no way Zlatan's back until January anyway. So, I mean, you know, let's worry about Zlatan in like 15 or 16 game weeks. You know, there's no point in even worrying about that right now.
Yeah. So if you have Morata, Lukaku, Kane, it's a huge outlay, but you know these guys are playing 90, if not like at least 80, every single game week for you.
Yeah. And just, you know, we didn't talk about Lukaku very much. You know, for the move said, should game week 7 be the last for Lukaku? You know, because Lukaku's home on game week 7. I mean, I still hold, and I've said this many times in the podcast, I will stay consistent on this, that I think that Lukaku is, you know, a potential season keeper, a player that I plan to have in my squad the entire season. I mean, this guy has scored 6 goals in 6 game weeks. He is, you know, he is the dominant creative force on the first or second best team in the league. And let's call them the second best team right now, because Man City are absolutely destroying people on the second best team in the league. And I just think that, you know, I just think that Mourinho is going to play him the full 90 as often as possible. That being said, I actually think that there's a chance of some rotation at the Crystal Palace game. I think that Marcus Rashford could actually get the start as a lone striker. So I'm just going to sow that seed of doubt right now.
No way that happens. There's no way. Lukaku has never been rested a single minute in his career.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying there's like a 25% chance that Lukaku gets rested.
Okay.
So Morata, Lukaku, and actually I would keep the same forward line I have right now. Morata, Lukaku, Aguero.
Of course you would. You're coming off 88 points.
I know, you're right. But do you disagree?
I mean, just for the points that I made in it, that Kane has nailed, and there's just funny business right. going on up top for Man City with rotation. And
sure,
I mean, Aguero looks to be in far better form than Harry Kane right now. I can't argue that, but this is FPL.
All right, so let's move down a couple rungs in the forward line. Let's talk about Roberto Firmino. I got a few questions here. Tom Adams says, Firmino replacements, is Vardy the only logical choice? Uppercut Panda says, are we sleeping on Firmino? Excellent game week, 10th or 19th fixtures. Mane is back. Pens and a falling price. Ian Wilson says, with Mane back, can we expect game week 1-3 Firmino, or will Coutinho mess that up? And then our old friend Dave Wagner-Lodell says, Wayne Firmino replacements, Joe Salou, is he about to break out or about to be benched? Brandon, if we take the last question first, Joe Salou is a Dusan Tadic figure. He looks great, the stats are there, and he can't aim or something. I can't explain it.
You know, they should really call him Don't Son Tadic instead of Do Son. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't understand that. I refuse to accept that as a joke.
Yeah, Josalu is, he's a bit of a joke. I mean,
Jokesalu.
He's Jokesalu. I don't get that. I mean, I don't get any. That Newcastle team is kind of weird, to be honest. I mean, I've never liked Dwight Gayle either, but.
I've liked Dwight Gayle going back to his Crystal Palace days. I am a Dwight Gayle fan, and I don't know why he scored like 50 goals in the championship, and it's not like I feel like he hasn't even really had a chance. I don't know. Did he start the first couple game weeks? It feels like he has not had like a real chance to show his stuff in the top. In the
yeah,
top
that league. May be. But speaking of Firmino, Uppercut Panda, who mentions when Mane gets back, it's clear. This is no secret that Liverpool are just a different team when Mane is in the side. And I would argue this, that yes, they will look much better when Mane is back, which to my mind means you should be thinking about getting Mane, not Firmino.
Or Salah, who it seems like he's scoring every single game week. And, mm-hmm. you know, he just gets his goal every week.
Yeah, my point exactly. Get the guys who will be scoring. I mean, Firmino was scoring when Mane was in the field, so I can see the argument there. But we just got done talking about loading up as much as you can in the front three. And a guy on the form that Firmino is right now, you can't recommend him.
Yeah, you can't recommend him. Although there were some questions over the weekend about a Firmino to Morata move. I don't think I would make that before the Man City match. I think I would hold Firmino. I mean, with Mane back, he should be playing as a central, you know, as a, not that they really have a striker in their formation, but he should play as, you know, he should be playing more centrally. And I think that I would rather have Firmino away to Newcastle than Morata at home to Man City.
Yeah, well, with the form that DeAndre Yedlin is in right now, Josh, I don't know about that.
But just as an isolated one-week fixture. I mean, I still much prefer Morata, but as an isolated one-week fixture, yeah.
You prefer Firmino.
I prefer Firmino. And, you know, Vardy I like a lot, too. I mean, you know, really, I mean, he's, yeah, we probably would be talking about him a lot more if he didn't have his penalty saved.
Yeah, right? had he made that.
He had 13 points, yeah.
For sure.
That's like a season transforming moment for Liverpool. I mean, if he makes that and they blow another huge lead, it feels like the season would almost be over for them. Maybe they just can't win the league at all anyway, because they just refuse to buy any more defenders in the off season. I mean,
no,
can you win the league with Moreno and Matip and, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's what, like 18 years old. I mean, is that going to work?
I do agree. If it was almost like the commentators and the game itself was just willing Liverpool to at least come out with a draw. So I was shocked they were able to hang on to that.
Hold on. We mentioned it before, but that solid goal was so beautiful too. It was
you're just reliving all your greatest wild card moments during this episode.
It's just a coincidence that a lot of good goals happened with players in my it was a very successful wild card, Brian. I need a little
hats off to you.
In, you know? Yeah, exactly. If I'm gonna suffer when I have a bad game week, I've got to enjoy the good game week, because otherwise it's just all suffering.
Yeah, I've known you for a long time, Josh. I know the deal. I do like Vardy. That's a differential at this. Well, I don't know if we want to qualify it as a differential, but I'd say he's definitely not top of my list. But if you have enough cash to upgrade the Calvert-Lewins of this world just to a Jamie Vardy and not to a Morata, I see no reason to not do that.
Sure, and you've got to love Bournemouth, West Brom, Swansea in the next three. And even Everton at home in game week 10, Stoke away in game week 11. I mean, he's got just a nice run of strong fixtures to come. Coutinho is the one player we didn't talk about. This was, in theory, a striker discussion, but Coutinho at 8.8 million. The one cool thing about the Coutinho thing was, so my wife is just sort of, walking around the house or whatever, and that free kick comes up. And I said, Kate, you got to come watch this because he is going to score a goal on this free kick. He, never misses on a free kick. And she walked over, and the second she walked over, he scored a goal on that free kick.
Wow, does your wife think you have, telekinetic powers now?
If it were possible, I would have run to my bank, withdrawn all the money, bet everything I could on him scoring a goal there, because I was so certain. I mean, he just given the ball that he played into Salah for the first goal, I just thought, Coutinho's back. I mean, at 8.8 million, he is a fantastic wild card option. I would definitely look at him if I were wild card.
Yeah, same old Coutinho. There could have been more for him. I thought that Leicester City was pretty good at blocking all of his, bazooka cannon shots from outside the 18. But had they not blocked as many as they had, he's just got such an amazing outside shot. So he's still looking to take those same old Coutinho shots. There are many goals to come for him.
Yeah, but he looked a lot better than he did in the Burnley match the week before.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to do a lightning round of the remaining questions for this game week, heading into game week 7.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Josh, let's take a quick minute to talk about our friends at Starting 11, which is a new daily fantasy app that you can download for your iPhone or Android phone. Just go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, download it there, or find more information at starting11.io. Josh, this is a daily fantasy game which you can play whenever the Premier League has at least three fixtures running. And the cool thing, the new features that Starting 11 is bringing into the fantasy realm is we've got no budget, right? So any players that you can't afford in your regular FPL squad, this is your opportunity to just field a full 11 full of these studs. You also can make any changes, any swaps to your starting 11 side when the team sheets are announced. You can just mix things up in case the players you initially put in aren't going to be starting for their teams. And then, what's more, the best feature about starting 11 are the three live in-game substitutions that you can make, which makes you feel like a real manager. Have you experienced this feeling, Josh, of like you're on the sidelines, like you are Pep Guardiola?
It actually is very satisfying playing a couple head-to-head matches in the last few weeks where I've been able to just take off someone who's been kind of garbage and bring on another player. And if they actually do well, it is very satisfying. And I know we need to start playing for a little scratch on the side, Brandon.
A little cashola, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I think the site itself is going to be rolling out some options soon. But just until then, I think you and I need to start. We used to throw dice in the backyard, but maybe now it's time to throw down some 20s.
Sure. And speaking of challenges, we're doing something with Starting 11 here at Always Cheating, where you, the listener, can challenge the cheaters. So the way you challenge somebody through the Starting 11 app is with their email address. So just hit me and Josh up on a direct message, either on Twitter or Facebook, or send us an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com. I think that's our email address. And we'll set up the challenge, and then you can see who's better.
Exactly. So we've challenged a ton of people already this season, and we'll definitely be doing it this weekend, even though it's my daughter's first birthday. How's that for commitment, Brandon?
Wow. Challenge now, granted, Josh on his daughter's birthday.
Yeah, granted, I will not be watching any of these games until about 8 hours later. So in America, the one thing that's cool, so, they it's kind of – well, I don't want to get too off track here, but they rolled out a new service this year called NBC Gold, which is it's kind of annoying because you're paying $50 for what you used to get for free, but you do get these full match replays there, and it is kind of satisfying to just go through and actually watch an entire match.
Oh, for sure.
And you can speed up through a couple, you know, boring moments in a game or whatever. And but it's a nice way to watch a compressed match.
Yeah. Well, say it is your daughter's birthday, but you still want to make your live substitutions. The Starting 11 app will actually send you push notifications when your players
don't
get
do what I'm. Yeah. So. Exactly. So anyway, be a better man than me. Make those live subs.
Yeah. We want it. We want your challenges. So hit us up and also check out Starting 11. It is one of the most beautifully designed sports apps I've used in a long time. Like the kits have this really appealing color palette, and it's really fun and easy to use. So again, go to starting11.io for more information. Download that app today.
All right, Brandon, on to the lightning round. Tons of questions this game week, and we're going a little long, so we're going to lightning round the rest of these questions. The rule for the lightning round is no more than 30 seconds per answer. Okay. Ready for this, Brandon?
I'm ready.
And then we gotta hold to this, so we should really, you know, we gotta have that timer ready.
Okay.
All right. Michael DiPietro, longtime friend of the pod and a Patreon supporter, says, is Salah a must-own now?
I have no reason to say he's not. He is the seemingly the focal point of that Liverpool attack at this point. 4 goals in 6 matches, including 2 assists. That's a must-own to me.
He is basically a forward who is priced as a 9.1 million midfielder. And yeah, he's fantastic. His aggression is really what makes him a must-own player. When I was building my wildcard team, there was absolutely no incarnation of my wildcard that didn't have Mo Salah in it. That's how much faith I have in him.
All right, FPL Penguin asks, looking ahead, Hazard, Mane, differentials? Any opinions on these two blokes?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Hazard is still getting the slow rollout. I do think that will end eventually. I mean, I certainly expect him to start in the City Spurs game this coming Saturday. Yeah, I think that they're both great differentials. I mean, what is Mane's ownership must have fallen below 20% at this point, right? It was getting pretty high there. I mean, I think it was at 30 when he got the suspension.
Yeah, he's currently go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, I looked it up, too. He's at 10.9% right now, so definitely. I mean, I don't know. What do we call a differential? Under 15% ownership?
I suppose that's fair. I mean, in this world of Lukaku ownership being, you know, almost at 60%, that right. does feel like a differential to me. Yeah, it's as if Conte is beta testing Hazard right now. It's a bit confusing.
Would you have of those two?
Definitely Mane. I mean, Mane is... I mean, just to qualify the Hazard thing, I mean, anyone who's played FPL for multiple seasons, even when Hazard is like the player of the season, he's just really difficult to own as an FPL asset. He's very streaky. He can't really perform away from home. So I just feel better with Mane in my lineup.
Yeah, and I'm going to have Morata, so I don't think I need Hazard. I feel like that. Yeah, the better value is with Morata, but. Hazard makes a lot of sense too once he's into form, but it does seem like his minutes are being managed carefully.
Yeah, all right, more Chelsea questions. FPL Doctor, looking ahead, time to load up on City-Chelsea. Which 3 would you pick from both?
Wow, that is a tough question. How about I take City and you take Chelsea?
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Okay.
Okay, so if I could only have 3 players on City, but let's say I had to have 3 players on City, I would pick Aguero, I would pick David Silva, and I would pick Nicolas Otamendi, the player who's most likely to actually play most game weeks in their defense.
Okay, so on Chelsea, I would go Morata, obviously, given all this discussion. Perhaps recency bias on Azpilicueta, but we've talked many times about how Caesar is an incredible bonus magnet. And
Linking up well with Morata, too.
Yeah. I think he may have benefited slightly when Alonso was taken off. He was getting a little farther forward. But at 6.5, he hasn't seen any price rises. I think that's still really good value for Azpilicueta. The third pick on Chelsea, if you've already covered the defense and Morata's the striker, that's a really tricky one. Fabregas not getting the start this week makes him a little trickier a proposition.
I think I'd maybe double up with Alonso and
That's the easy way out. So, and I think that's smart. Given when the fixtures also switch over for Chelsea, like all green starting in game week 8, I think defense is really nice there. So,
I'd like at least a defender from that team at some point. It was interesting that Cahill was came on late, but
there are so many defensive options there now. Christensen, Rudiger, Zappacosta.
Yeah. I mean, Luiz, when he comes back, it would be nice if Luiz's price dropped a little more while he was, because his ownership is actually pretty high. And if he was, he's at 5.9 now. If he follows just a little more before he comes back from suspension, he's a good option there. I mean, you might not be able to get a starting Chelsea defender for like 5.7 million.
All right, so I think we broke the rules going over 30 seconds there, but we did also cover Leo Howell and Slim Shady's questions, both asking about Chelsea defense. So, yep. Slim Shady does ask the interesting question. Take 30 seconds on this, Josh. Hazard or Morata?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I talked about this a minute ago. I think that Morata is slightly better value. You know, Hazard, is he even on pens anymore? I'm not sure. You know, his minutes are getting managed very carefully. I feel like Morata is the better option there. And Hazard is such a frustrating player to own anyway. I mean, as anyone who's had Hazard the last few years knows, I mean, it's all boom or bust. You know, you can have long stretches of 5-6 game weeks where he doesn't do anything. And then, you know, he'll have 2 game weeks in a row where he scores like 6 total goals. You know, he'll score 5 in one game and then have a goal and 3 assists in the next. And you're like, how did Hazard just get 47 points in the last 2 game weeks? Then we all bring him in and then he blanks for like 4 weeks in a row. So, Morata just, it seems like the fact that he can score, as you said earlier in the podcast, so many different ways is part of what makes him really appealing. And I mean, he's got like the best head in the Premier League. We're talking about headed goals. That guy's amazing.
I'm shocked he's such a good header of the ball, because his head itself just seems a little too perfect, symmetrical. He doesn't look like he's spent a lot of time banging his head against things, but there you go.
Yeah, exactly. His hair looks very well coiffed. Rayback says, am I insane for thinking of benching Alonso this week against the unstoppable rhinoceros that is Manchester City?
I mean, this matchup is kind of confounding to me as well, and I think there will be more goals than clean sheets. That's for certain. But do you have a guy, do you have Alonso, a defender that's 7 million plus in your team, just to put him on the bench? His potential
bench Alonso. Yeah, you never bench Alonso, ever, right? I mean, this guy scored 2 goals away to Spurs this season.
Yeah. If they get a free kick in his favorite position, you know, looking just at the right corner of the goal, you want him in that instance.
And he is really good on the break, too. So if, you know, I mean, City's going to be attacking that whole match, especially if they go down a goal. That guy, you know, I mean, he's just, there's a very good, to me, yeah, I mean, I would not bench Alonso in this fixture under almost any circumstances.
All right, Scott Gill wants to ask us about Alexis Sanchez. Were you convinced at all about him during the West Brom match?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, he's like running around screaming at his teammates, which
and the referee.
One of his worst qualities from last season. He held on the ball way too much, wasn't passing it very often. I mean, it's the whole thing with Alexis is just depressing. It bums me out. And, you know, the problem is he's so expensive, too. I mean, you can't have a premium striker if you bring him in. I mean, we talked about how you can have the premiums and still have some heavy hitters in the midfield, but Alexis can't be one of those hitters. I don't know how you can have 3 heavy hitters and Alexis and still have a team that was going to get you consistent points week in, week out.
Yes, I agree. Pass on Alexis. All right. You had it good for too long, Josh, talking about all these expensive players. Back to the bargain discussion. John Tolliday asked, bargain mids, are there points in Richarlison, Gross, Jesse, Choupo-Moting, Loftus-Cheek, Richie, Atsu? He's just rolling out all of the favorites. who would you pick? I mean, we know who you picked in your wild card squad, Josh. Richarlison finally got another goal this season. He came good. So that's a point. I mean, Gross looked pretty decent against Newcastle. Sure. Probably should have scored. He has
created the chance that led to the goal.
Mm-hmm. Loftus-Cheek also should have scored this weekend. yet again.
He's got to finish better. It's really unfortunate because he's doing so many things well. I mean, he's the only guy who looks good on that team, and he can't quite finish. I mean, he could have like 3 goals in the last 2 games if he was just a little better at finishing.
And now if it looks like Crystal Palace is going to be without Christian Benteke for an extended period of time, he's got this knee injury. I think the goal-scoring opportunities... I mean, I guess I haven't watched Palace enough to know how many opportunities Loftus-Cheek is getting because of Benteke's movement. But
I guess we're talking about more or less for a team that hasn't scored a goal this year.
It's hard to really recommend anybody there, but Loftus-Cheek seems to have great potential for it. I mean, the most remarkable thing about Loftus-Cheek is his price tag at 4.5.
Exactly. I kept him in my wildcard squad because why not? I mean, at 4.5 million, a guy who's playing in the hole, even for a team that's as bad as Palace, they are going to score goals eventually. I mean, we're not looking at a team that's going to score 0 goals.
Wouldn't it be remarkable if they didn't score a single goal this season? I mean, wouldn't you just at some point we have to start rooting for that to happen? We want to see history.
Christian Manson actually said, he said, how bad is Crystal Palace? The record for fewest goals scored in a season is in danger, which was 20 scored by Derby County in 07-08. So,
all right, I think we can, make a case for a lot of these guys, but who in John's list would you say stay away from?
Who would I stay away from? I guess Hesse. He doesn't seem like... I haven't been blown away by him. I feel like Chepamotin is a more valuable option in the Stoke midfield. I think you can make a case for all the rest of them. I really don't know. I mean, none of them are consistent. None of them are scoring really. They're scoring a little bit and they're getting some assists. I mean, I feel like Pascal Gross is maybe the best option. I don't know.
Your 30 seconds
Richie
is up.
Yeah, so the answer is there's no consistent points in any of the 6 million and cheaper midfielders. How's that for a punt?
Yeah, Chi-Chi asks, best defense to invest in at the moment. Is there a better defense right now than Manchester United?
No, although the fixtures do start to get worse over the next few game weeks. They play Liverpool away, Chelsea away, and Spurs at home in 3 of the next 5.
It's probably Arsenal, right?
Yeah, it's Arsenal for now. Yeah.
Up to that City matchup in game week 11.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Southampton, right? I guess that's, we talked about them earlier. I think I would definitely want a Southampton defender starting in game week 8.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Eric Freeman says, I see a lot of people taking hits to make an extra transfer or 2 or more. When do you consider a hit worth the transfer? Brandon, try to do this one in 30 seconds, even though we could probably spend an entire podcast on hit strategy.
Yeah, sure. Hit strategy comes down to one simple thing. You would take a hit for a long-term move. Don't ever take a hit just for one fixture because you're just playing with the odds that it pans out for you, and there is at least a 50% chance that you'll be very disappointed that you spent 4 points. So Spend the hit when it's a long term move.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I was really mad at the hit I took. The hit I took the week before actually kind of hastened my wild card because I felt like I just wasn't. I often feel like when I make a hit, I'm playing slightly outside of my own style. You know, I don't like if you're comfortable taking hits and you can ride the swings. Go for it. I don't emotionally hits like put me in a bad state like going into the game week. I feel like I'm already like, you know, I don't know. I just like they destabilize me a little bit. I mean, sometimes they definitely are worth it. I mean, sometimes you have injuries or you have players who are just, you know, destroying your team. And they're about to drop in value or you have a red card you've got to cover for or whatever. But in general, I don't think hits are usually worth the money, especially hits for defenders.
Yeah. All right, this is a good question to end on. Welsh Gunner asks, if you were to choose one City player, who would it be? So you get just one.
I chose just one for my wild card, and I picked Aguero, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, I think that would be the one I would go with as well. I mean, maybe David Silva, because, I mean, I'm still... KDB showed, again, his true colors. For them to put 5 goals past Crystal Palace and KDB only like working on hockey assists still at this point, There was this promise of more excitement from KDB, and I think that door has been firmly closed after this Palace game. So he's out, and I think it's between David Silver and Sergio Aguero.
6 goals and 3 assists for Aguero. That's argument enough for me. Brendan, let's take one last quick break, and then we'll get back to our Game Week 7 preview.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Game Week 7, transfers planned for this week. What are you thinking, Brandon? What's your move?
The move is probably to drop my short-term friend, Benjamin Mendy. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood of Mendy being fit and healthy again for that Chelsea game seems likely, but I have my eye on Arsenal and Chelsea defense right now, both of them. So I think I'm going to begin part one of a two-part move in moving Mendy and Ben Davies into Chelsea and Arsenal defense.
Okay, so you're looking at, Monreal looks pretty good.
Yeah,
Klasnik, so attacking, but Monreal looked amazing in this game.
Yeah, Monreal also had his share of attacking moves, so that is interesting to me as well. It still doesn't address my Calvert-Lewin issue up front, but Everton's fixtures, they look good, and if Koeman keeps the faith in Calvert-Lewin and he keeps getting starts, then I'm just going to have to ride that for the time being.
Yeah, by the way, I'm just seeing now that Bellerin ended up on more bonus points than Monreal in this match, which is a complete joke. Are you kidding me? How is that even possible? Monreal is the man of the match. He was so dominant. I cannot believe that Bellerin ended up with him. What did Bellerin even do in that match?
He had a shot that was on target that was blocked.
Yeah, stung the palms. Yeah, that was the thing.
He has like a cool hair thing going on. That's got to be worth something. Yeah.
So I don't know what my transfer is going to be. I actually wanted to save my transfer, but I think I may have to actually move. So what I would either do is play Steven Ward away to Everton, which I'm kind of fine with because I do think that that Burnley could keep an away fixture or keep a clean sheet away to Everton. The other move would be to just drop Chalobah, who might be injured now, and I don't know. I kind of get a little unlucky there. So Chalobah, if he turns out to be healthy, I'll just probably won't make a move, and I'll just play Chalobah away West Brom. I'm a little undecided right now. All of my kind of heavy hitters, I'm just going to keep as is. And Choupo-Moting, who's kind of my definitely like the puntiest player in my squad, plays Southampton at home, so it's really a chance for me to see what I've got with him. If not, he might be on the chopping
block. Check him out. See what he's got. Come on, Choupo. We're all watching you,
yeah,
buddy.
Exactly.
What about captains? Who are you going to captain?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to captain Lukaku. I'm not going to make a final captain decision until the Champions League fixtures are done. We'll see. I'm worried a little bit about him not starting.
I think that's so insane. Concerned. I think that's insane.
I don't know. So I think I'm going to vice captain Mo Salah. I think I do see Salah scoring a goal or doing something away to Newcastle.
Yeah, that's interesting. Harry Kane still away. Harry Kane loves playing away from home, apparently.
Yep.
That is, he's an option, but Lukaku is the runaway favorite here. He will start and he will score at least a brace against Palace.
Yeah, well, I do think that's likely, but I'm just throwing it out there. Champions League on Tuesday and Wednesday, you have 5 Premier League teams playing on those days. So if you have not made any moves yet, please hold off on doing so.
Don't get Paul Pogba, everybody.
Don't get Pogba, exactly. Fixtures, it's a pretty stacked Saturday, which I'm a little surprised given the Champions League fixtures. I thought they might move some to Sunday. But, like you said, Spurs play Huddersfield. That's the morning fixture. Bournemouth-Leicester is kind of an interest just to see where those two teams are. It's two teams that really just need to start picking up some points. Man U Crystal Palace, I think Loftus-Cheek finally gets that brace we've all been waiting for.
He's going to score against Chelsea, the mighty Man United defense?
Right. And the big game here is Chelsea-Man City. They're the marquee fixture of the day. The baby's first birthday party will be ending, And hopefully I'll actually get a chance to watch about 18 minutes of this game.
Yeah, I will be wiping all that that birthday cake frosting off of my glasses so that I can can actually watch this game. I'm really looking forward to that game. That is going to be exciting.
That is an exciting game. If Arsenal play Brighton, I mean, assume if the world doesn't end and Arsenal play Brighton. But the Arsenal-Brighton game, if I had Lacazette, I would definitely consider captaining him for that game.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, Brighton looked like organized to the extreme against Newcastle.
They did. They did. They did.
And Arsenal, with the, if they have a bad day, and it's like classic Arsenal to look good one half and the next half look just like utter garbage. Sure. So I think it could go either way here. I'd be a little nervous about that.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I disagree. Everton, Burnley, Newcastle, Liverpool. That Newcastle-Liverpool game should be fun. Did you ever when Newcastle had Liverpool's number for a while back a couple years ago?
Yeah, sure. And there's that whole Andy Carroll connection there.
Carrollgate, yeah.
All right, so nailed on clean sheets for me. It would be so sad to see Crystal Palace not score again, but I think United is nailed here.
Sure. Arsenal.
Yeah, maybe West Brom against home hosting Watford.
Yeah, maybe. Watford have a real knack for scoring, though. I actually don't think West Brom keep a clean sheet in that match.
I think Everton could.
I don't know who would score. Like, whoever scores for Watford will be some player I've never heard of before, but I do think they scored a goal. Yeah.
It could come down to if Jagielka is healthy or not for Everton. I think they really need a clean sheet. I mean, Jagielka is not the best player that he once was, but I think they need a bit of his leadership. But I do like Everton maybe for a clean sheet here.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair shout. All right, Brandon, that's the podcast. Find us on Twitter or at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. You can find us on SoundCloud. Find us on our website, alwayscheating.com. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And support the podcast on Patreon. I'm excited to announce, and I should have done this at the top of the podcast, that we have a special Patreon podcast exclusive coming up on Sunday. We have a very special guest, which I'm really excited about, and the episode is going to be all about FPL and stats. Mm. So if you're interested in stats, it's the podcast for you. I think it's going to be one of our. We've had a lot of great guests on the podcast.
Too many on the Patreon podcast.
So I don't want to rank them all here, but I do think it'll be a really good one. I'm looking forward to it.
And whoever you are out there that just rated us 5 stars on iTunes, you're my new best friend. If you also want to be my best friend, go check us out on the Apple Podcast Store and give us a rating if you like what you hear. We definitely appreciate that. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, you will find Always Cheating there for you. Is that it, Josh?
That's right. That's it, Brandon. Have a good weekend, and I will see you on Saturday.
Happy birthday, Quinn.
Happy birthday, Quinn.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.